Hey, how y'all doing? It's your girl, Didi Leggett, aka The Core Queen. And I am back with another episode of The Core Queen Chat. And today we have one of my amazing friends. He's a guru in the financial space. I cannot wait for y'all to talk to him. We got Mr. Jamari James coming on the show today. Before we bring him on, I'm going to introduce him. I'm going to let y'all know who he is, what he does, and you know what he's all about. So Jamari is a serial entrepreneur with a master's degree in accounting. He currently resides in Atlanta, Georgia, and he considers himself a financial strategist aiming to empower those around him, particularly individuals from underserved communities, groups in society who have been excluded from the financial table. With this objective in mind, he intends to continue providing access to the knowledge that he's acquired. This knowledge has enabled him to live by his own rules and better equipped his community by ensuring that each individual can increase their financial literacy and positively impact their families for generations to come. Y'all welcome my friend Jamari.
What up,
hey,
Didi?
Jamari.
Peace, love, and
birthday life. Twin.
I know, right? Birthday twin. Shout out to them Libras.
Hey, Libras, we bring balance to y'all lives. Y'all better respect us. Welcome to the show. I've been trying to get you on this show for forever.
I know. We were rolling on about a year.
Almost a year. It's been almost a year, Jamari. Almost a year. But I think this is perfect timing because I think this is like the connection is coming now that I have the book out. And I think people don't really put these two things together and how they correlate. So I got so many questions for you.
For sure.
And I know you can answer them because you're that guy. He is him. Yeah. what they call you, Mr. Well, I'ma sue that ass.
Mr. I'ma sue that ass. Yeah, that's
y'all better recognize. So tell me a little bit about your upbringing.
Whew. Born in Savannah, Georgia. Upbringing, mom, you know how it is, mom, grandma, my dad and my mom split when I was, I'll say maybe five or six. Mm-hmm. So, you know, weekends at dad's, you know how that go. So really, you know, mom worked a couple jobs, so I got to see her grind. And you know, grandma had us a lot. So you already know how grandma, you know how grandmas are. They with the cast iron skillet, extension cords, all that. So, but no, they really instilled in me just to always believe in yourself and don't allow other people's limited beliefs to affect you. That's probably the biggest thing I'll take away from them, and just lead by example, never be like a follower, stuff like that. Just because somebody else might have failed at something, you know, don't let that affect you and what you want to do. You know how some people, your friends might fail at something, they like, oh dang, you can't do this because like we two different people. So I definitely agree with you. I think the call tonight, I definitely agree people don't understand how these two things go together and how it's passed on from generation to generation, just like a recipe. So I'm blessed, honored to be on your show tonight, D.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Fred, can you make the comments come up so we can see what the comments are looking like? So do you believe that your childhood experiences shape your financial decisions?
Absolutely. I feel like, and this could just be me, but I feel like a lot of us have generational patterns of financial dysfunction, right? The generation that I'm in that 25 to 30 year old generation. So most of our parents taught us what credit is bad, don't get it. And that's only because they were never taught how to utilize it, number one. Number two, most of our parents or grandparents had the, you know, either the shoebox or the money up under the mattress.
Yep.
rather than invest in it because they want to lay their eyes on it at all times. But I think people don't really understand how that financial programming feeds into your childhood trauma, which leads into obviously your adulthood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like we get a lot into, you know, we become adults. We like, oh, that's just the way I am. But people don't understand, like, you can change your healing, your habits. Most of us live off hood economics anyway. And something I ask people around my age is, how far has that gotten? Or they'd be like, oh, I'm trying to be like this person, that person. All right, cool. How far did they get them?
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying? Most of us, saw growing up athletes, drug dealers. We didn't see that many doctors in the neighborhood. We didn't see that many surgeons. We didn't see that many lawyers or things like that. growing up, not everybody, I can't speak for everybody. Some people right. with those opportunities, and some of us didn't grow up in two-parent households. We grew up in single-parent households with grandma, right? So we've seen evictions, food insecurities, just trauma, shame, a power struggle for our community in the whole. And I think that it wires us to avoid not only risk, but fear of loss, and emotionally overspend or hoard. Like I talked about, the money under the mattress type situation. And I've had this conversation with both my parents and my grandmother now that I'm, you know, of age and sit at those tables. But like I said, we inherit more than grandma's recipes when it comes to, you know, these type of conversations.
So what were those types of conversations like when you talked to your mom and grandma about this stuff? What was that conversation like?
So with my mom, I mean, I tell the story on almost any podcast I go on. Like, I saw my mom work 3 jobs, so I only saw my mom really on the weekends or late at night, right, when she get home, if I'm still up. But I'm asleep because I got to put my sister to bed to get ready for school the next day. So those conversations were really, I mean, she always said growing up is like you use the same type of decision-making in corporate that you do every day. You're going to work hard. You're going to get after it. You're not going to let nobody limit your, totem pole, how far you can go, but never let anybody down talk you or make you flustered in a job. So the conversations with her were, I mean, the same. I embodied it, like in college, playing sports and stuff like that. I know your kids are athletes. You understand. And really just understanding like the life you want, you can create it. It just might not always go exactly how you want. So being able to adapt. So I just saw her work hard. My dad was always a hard worker. He was kind of chill, laid back dude. He ain't gonna say too much until somebody pissed him off. But the conversations that I had with them were really just like, now I'm giving them advice. They call me and ask me questions. I'm like, damn, am I the parent? Like, I'm the parent now because, you know, I've taken that time to study certain stuff and I'm able to give them advice. Like, my dad he did what his dad taught me. He fixed cars. He has an HVAC business. He knows how to fix an 18-wheeler. Like, he does a lot of stuff, but his favorite thing to do is to flip, you know, old schools, like, you know, Caprices, Chevys, Gran Torinos, Monte Carlos, like stuff like that. He liked to buy old cars from, you know, in the Midwest or out up west, Seattle, Washington, probably as far as it went, rebuild them and sell them.
Okay.
But for the longest, he kept doing it with his own money. And I'm like, Dad, you working backwards. Like, and he has perfect credit. He just was scared. I'm not going to do nothing with it. So just those conversations and being able to show him, hey, you can do this. You can leave your job. You don't have to stay there. Like, you know what to do. You're making $20,000, $40,000 every time you flip a car while you're staying at a job. So the conversations were different. And I try to, you know, have those same conversations with my younger cousins, like a couple of my younger cousins. My aunt passed earlier this year. So a couple of my cousins stayed with my grandmother. And one of my little cousins made a comment. He was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to go to college because I see how grandma's life is. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, you can't compare what you have now in 2025 versus what your grandma had in 1960, 70. I was like, it's two different generations. It's different opportunities. So the conversations were interesting, per se. And it literally led back to, I just did what my parents taught me, which is what most of us get. And that's where the trauma comes from. It doesn't just start in adulthood, right? It starts when the lights got cut off in third grade, right? It starts when there wasn't enough food for everybody to eat, so you watch your parents not eat at night. So it was those type of conversations that really helped me understand, like, and see certain things early on, because my parents had me, early 20s? So I feel like I grew up with them.
Right.
When I look at them now, they're in their 50s. I grew up with them. Like, I'm 30, but I grew up with them. So everybody like, you got an old soul. I'm like, yeah, because I grew up with my parents. They went outside. Chilling with my grandma watching she's a watch Law and Order and NCIS. Like, that's what I was doing. So
and it's like, we really don't, it's, I get frustrated when I hear that I'm doing what I know, but you can know more, you can do different. You don't have to stay stuck in that generational bind.
Right.
Well, everybody's doing the same thing.
But I feel like a lot of people make excuses for themselves. They'll say, I didn't know, or oh, I didn't do this. And I tell them, well, shit, you know how to use social media. So you can get on Google, you can get on ChatGPT, any of these other things, and go ahead and build out or study what you want to learn to get out of that scarcity mindset, to change some of your debt habits and some of the survival spending that some of us do. Because, you know, a lot of people be like, oh, I deserve it. That's everybody's favorite saying, I deserve it. Okay. All right, you deserve it. I got you.
Yep. And that's that mindset of I'm going out every weekend. For what are we celebrating?
I ask people that all the time. Like people be like, you Hollywood. I only catch you every now and then. I'm like, I'm not outside because I have nothing to celebrate. And if you want to go turn up, by all means, do your thing. That's just not for me every single weekend. Cause it's like, bro.
Yeah, like
it's $50 the park. You're gonna pay three times what you're gonna pay for a bottle of liquor if you go somewhere, if you drink. And it's just expensive. Outside is expensive every weekend. I can get it your birthday, maybe once a month, or
right,
you know, you're catching up with your homeboys or homegirls. But I realized because of that generational trauma that's been passed on, that dysfunction is that age of like 25 to 35, people give up. They like the way life is. They cool with it. They work a job.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong working. But some people get complacent just where they are and they cool with it. And then you look up in 20 years and they still doing the same thing. And it's like, dang, like you never thought life could be different. And that's why, like, people younger than me, I'm always like, yo, move away from your hometown.
Yes.
Go experience the world. Go see, especially people who grew up in rural in South Georgia or Mississippi. And no disrespect, you know, the Southeast, but a lot of us grew up in rural places. Everybody didn't grow up in the city, in Metro. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, move away from your hometown. People are like, you didn't. I'm like, y'all don't know. I'm from Savannah. I'm not from Atlanta. Like, so we moved away from home long ago. Right. So just having those conversations with people, you really get to see how much of the generational patterns of dysfunction are there, right? Our grandparents didn't trust banks. Some of our parents don't trust banks, right?
Yep.
The fear of misuse of credit. And the lack of education of it in general, especially on college campuses, you know, they'd be out there trying to get the kids to sign up for credit cards and stuff like that. Over-reliance on like high finance places, like a lot. If some of you guys follow me, you see on my story, I talk about like merchant cash advance loans and these different loans where these companies don't tell you the interest rate and you're getting raped. Like it's a financial ditty party. Excuse my French. Like that's exactly what it is. So, you know, like Rent-A-Center, title loans, like different places like that. Like people don't understand, like ignorance is a $1 billion industry. So ignorance is a $1 billion industry. You either gonna play or you're gonna get played. Mm-hmm. And what, even with me, just understanding how family works, we get in that sham cycle and that silence. And then somebody becomes successful and you have to realize, yo, it's not my responsibility to save everybody. You can put the information in front of people, but if you try to go save everybody, you're gonna end up being like, damn, when it's my turn, they didn't do the same thing for me. So it's like, you gotta pick and choose who you gonna save, who you gonna help, and make sure that you're not giving from a cup that's not full.
Listen, or you're not pouring into a cup with a hole in the bottom.
That too.
Because they, listen, yeah.
What you said earlier, some people are just who they are.
You gotta accept it.
Yeah. For sure.
And then you can move accordingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause yeah. 1 second, Fred. Can you adjust the camera? Cause the it's cutting all this off.
Oh yeah, they gotta see your book.
Everything. I need all this.
Let's talk about your book. Tell us about your book.
Oh, we're here to talk about you. No, my book, you know, Breaking the Cycle of Childhood Trauma. It was definitely, oh Lord. You done took me out the whole frame.
I got the YouTube play. Hey, I want to tell y'all, shout out to D-Man. She literally just got nominated today as one of the best podcasts in Charlotte. So round of applause to her. That's just a testament to not only her resilience in this space, because we know it's a million podcasts out there. So.
Thank you. Zoom it a little bit more.
Definitely going to get touched.
So a little more. That's good. But like, make me like, don't have me cut off. Sorry, y'all. This is ghetto. We moved the studio, so we're trying to get it back right.
It's all good. Next time we'll be in person, so it's all good.
Absolutely. All right. So my next question: how does unhealed childhood trauma influence our beliefs about money, scarcity, success and security?
Ooh. So if you think about how you grew up and maybe how a lot of us grew up who didn't grow up in a household where it's okay to talk about your problems, number one, but to speak on certain things that were out of a child's place, we get to a space where you don't feel like it's a safe space to ask questions because you always either got belittled, chastised, didn't get the answer to your question. So then you was like, fuck it, I'm gonna just stop asking questions. So like I said earlier, it continues that shame cycle and silence. So I'm sure you've seen it, and I've seen it too when I have consultations and even conversations with people, is some people have been struggling with stuff their whole life. They just never speak on it. And that's why I tell people all the time, like, if you need somebody to talk to, book a consultation, like, because suicide is real. Excuse me, my dog. Like, suicide is real, and it ain't just from a emotional standpoint. Sometimes it's because of financial situation. Nobody didn't teach that person how to actually save or how to actually budget with the old school teacher. My grandma taught me how to do that before I ever went to school, became an accountant. My grandma used to say, hey, you're going to put how much money you make on this side and your expenses on this side. As a kid, you don't understand that because you ain't got no expenses. And I wish I could go back to being a kid again, right? But I think it helps continue that shame cycle in silence, because we got people that are struggling in silence, but because they didn't grow up in a family of love or around people who say, hey, bro, it's okay to talk to me, let's have a conversation. Or they saw uncle that was an alcoholic, auntie that might have, you know, been a prostitute, or parents that, you know, just were into different things, gambling and things like that. They never felt okay to talk about it. So I think this is something I always say about our community, and I don't understand, as we confuse secrecy with protection. It's like, that's not the case. We literally confuse secrecy with protection, and it's like, that's not what it is. You being secretive about, you know, somebody might have touched somebody as a kid. Like, we being secretive about certain things that shouldn't be secretive, because we don't want deacon so-and-so down at the church to know you. Like, but it's like, how are you supposed to move on from certain stuff, and how are we supposed to grow as a community, especially financially, if we're not talking about the stuff we have issues with because we don't want this person in our business? That shit, it's crazy to me. Like, I have no problem. I literally tell people all the time, I have no problem saying, hey, bro, I don't know this, and I know you know it, so let's have a conversation about it. Or how can I pay for your time so that I can have a little understanding for myself? Because at the end of the day, the day going to end. We all going to become adults. And we have to bring it back to healing, because shame dies when the stories are told in safe spaces.
Oh my goodness.
So much shame dies. I mean, it's just honesty. As a black man, I started going to therapy in 2018. Because one thing my grandma and mom always made me understand, you already got two strikes. You a man and you black, right? That's two strikes. So once I walk out that door, it ain't no making no mistakes. And because of the presence of social media today, it's so much easier to get more in trouble than it was in the 90s when I was growing up.
Yep.
Right? So I just try to relate that and, like, let these young dudes know it's okay. You don't have to be what you see on TV right now. You ain't even graduated. You ain't even got a couple hundred racks, and that is okay. Stop allowing society and people who are just surviving or trying to look a certain part dictate how you gonna live, how you gonna do your everyday. So,
and I'm glad you said look a certain part. Because it's not reality. They just look like they are successful and they are struggling and they're putting up a facade, and people are really out here killing themselves trying to be like them, and they're not even what they are showing or they posing to be.
Listen, I'm in a business venture. One of my cousins, we got Rolls Royce. I posted it one time. It's not in Atlanta. So when people see me in Atlanta, they expect to see that. And I'm like, wow, I got this truck right here that's paid off that ain't no car. Like, what you talking about? Like, wow. Like, but that's what they expect to see all the time, because again, they're used to trying to look a certain way and not understanding that there's a trap in financial first. Like, if you're the first one to be successful in your family, it's a trap, right? It's a trap. Jeez. So I think that's the issue, especially, like I said, in our community. I can't speak for everybody else. I can't speak for what nobody else is doing, but minorities, we have a problem. And even people are like, oh, well, I came from nothing. Okay, it's somebody who had the same story as you that bodied it and they figured it out. So it's like, I don't feel bad for nobody, because we all have the same 24 hours. So what do you spend your time doing? Right? Somebody just asked me, what is the situation where the family loves the idea, but is it willing to work or figure out the process? Sometimes it seems like we want to see the end result first before diving in and working with you. You got to lead them people where they at. You got to lead them where they at and do your own thing. Like, that's something that I had to figure out. Like, you have to figure out what success looks like for you and the family that you're creating. And I ain't talking about just go have a baby. I'm talking about, like, you as yourself, right? You're going to be somebody's husband or wife one day. What are you doing to set yourself up to be the best version of yourself? Because if, do you know it? Most marriages end in what? Divorce because of what? Because of what?
Finances.
Finances, right? Somebody came to that motherfucker with $100,000 worth of debt. Somebody else might have been financially free. Somebody else might have not been financially free. And now it continues that trauma because now it's you guys are, y'all might love each other, but it's a trauma bond. We're financially trauma bonded. We both work 50 hours a week. We both work 50 hours a week. That's why I hate the whole conversation of 50-50. Do what's best for you and your partner. You might be 50-50 today, and then in 3 years, you 90-10. Or like you have to do what's best for you and your partner. Yep. And that's why I be trying to tell young dudes who like be asking, what you think about that? I don't think nothing about it because it doesn't apply to me.
Yeah.
I don't argue with people about relationships, religion, or politics because I can't change nobody's mind with none of that. So why are we even having that conversation?
And I just had this conversation the other day about marriage because somebody was asking me about marriage and they assume I don't believe in marriage because I don't want to be married. And I said, no. My daughter just got married a few weeks ago. I'm happy for her. I love that for her. She's in her 20s. It makes sense.
Right.
When you're, I use the analogy, that's a startup business. Merging a startup business is easy.
Yeah.
When you're trying to merge an already formed business, that's a lot of work. No.
I agree with you. Now that I'm older, I understand it. Like when I was young, I'm like, oh, this person's a good person. Why are they not married? Now that I'm older, I get it. You got a lot more to lose. So I can't just be with Joe Schmo or Lucy Lady. I can't do that. Like if you ain't got something to lose, it's like it'll never work because we're never gonna think the same. It's always gonna be somebody trying to pull somebody else along and we're not equally yoked. And even if we're not equally yoked, are we working towards the same goals?
Yeah,
right? Because
if we both have something to lose, is it easy to put together?
Right. I agree. Yeah. And sometimes it's not because I think ego gets involved, but that comes again from the trauma growing up. A lot of people are egotistical now because they didn't have it growing up or they wasn't that guy or that woman growing up. So now they feel like they got to put on this facade and be something that they're not. I be telling people all the time, I'm successful, but I ain't no millionaire and I don't even care to be. My mama good. My grandma bills paid. My sister and my nephew good. Like, it's like, I can't relate to certain people anymore because I don't have those issues. And they be like, oh, you're Hollywood. And I tell people, I'm like, you damn right. Why would I want to do the same thing that I used to do? Why? Like, why would you not be trying to level up and be something different, but still act as the same person? Like, I don't understand. It never made sense to me. So people some people I went to high school with or even went to college would be like, yo, you Hollywood. And I'd be like, what does Hollywood mean to you? Because I don't be outside, because you don't know where I am, you don't know what I'm doing.
Listen, they call me bougie all they want. I am.
Of course. That's
why would I settle for certain stuff that I don't have to? That doesn't make sense. Why did I do all this work to still do the same thing?
That's the point, and people don't get it. So that silence, like I didn't understand. I think now that I'm older, I kind of get it. Like that silence. Make people literally will bring anxiety and depression upon themselves because they don't have an 800 credit score. They don't have the car that they want, or they keep getting denied for X, Y, and Z. And it's like, take your time and build up to that. Like set some realistic goals to get there. I literally had somebody jump in my DMs. I think it was 2 days ago. I think it was Monday. And he was like, bro, I'm just depressed. I'm working. I can't save. Da-da-da-da. And I go to his page, but you buying Jordans every time they drop. But you outside. Like, I'm like, you're not even doing the necessary steps on the daily to get to where you want to be. I said, the same Jordans release every other year. I said, you can go without a couple Jordans. You taking a vacation every week. And I asked myself, what are you celebrating? And I said, I'm not trying to be funny when I'm asking you this. Oh, bro, I just need to get away. You need to get away from what?
Right.
You get your real life. So I'm like, okay, cool. How about you don't take a vacation for a couple months? How about you save that extra? Because I asked him, I said, what is the typical vacation for you cost? He said, oh, bro, $750, $1,500. I said, so you spending $1,500 and you're going out of town for 3 or 4 days. I said, dog, you got to reevaluate what you got going on. I said, $1,500 a month for 4 months. I said, that's almost $7,000-$8,000. Well, it's like $6,000, but close enough, $7,000.
Right.
I'm like, they go your $10,000 right there. So it's like sometimes we don't, because of that trauma, we're not okay with saying, hey, I'm gonna sit this summer out. I'm gonna chill this summer.
Right.
I don't know, Cabo or Turks and Caicos or hell, even Miami. It ain't gonna be none of that. We're gonna stay at home. We're gonna save our money because, again, we have goals. And I think because of the way the trauma is set up, and our parents' parents didn't leave them anything. Their parents didn't leave them anything because they didn't know how. Mm. That's why I don't take the whole, oh, I didn't know. Yeah, you knew. You just didn't try to go find the necessary information to build or to do something.
Because what about the ones who didn't know either and still did it?
And that's what I tell people. Like, yo, it's somebody who took your same situation and they bodied it. They were okay with saying. And now I understand other ethnicities like Latinos. Latinos stay in the same house. It'd be seven of them in a two-bedroom. They saving money. Everybody paying $100.
Yeah,
so I'm like, we don't do that. And because of the trauma of, again, our parents, parents or grandparents say, hey, you got to be gone at 18.
Mm.
I'd be telling people, my mom told me I could come back home if I wanted to. And I would. I really would.
I would tell them how to go back home.
You know what I'm saying? So that we don't, a lot of us didn't get that. Benji, stop. Can you stop?
Because our parents were still in survival mode.
Exactly. So it's like, if we can not be in survival mode and actually create something that is sustainable for ourselves and for our families,
mm-hmm.
and set up, you know, the necessary asset protection and different things like that, whether however scary it may be to try to learn that stuff, our kids can have the same type of stuff. And if people be mad at me, they'd be like, oh, you can't, you have conversations with people of different ethnicities and you learn different type of stuff. You don't feel like they're the ones holding you back. I said, bro, the system is the system. You either gonna learn how to play or you gonna get played. I said, I can't be mad that this person or this person's ethnicity learns. No, let me get around them. Let me hang out with them a little bit. Let me hang out with them a little bit and learn some stuff that I can bring back to my people.
Right.
And actually share. And if you with that, cool. If you not, then it's just not for you. So we have to unlearn. Even with eating, right? A lot of our families did soul food, a lot of that different stuff. Now that we're adults, we see some of that stuff bad. That's why we got diabetes. That's why we got hypertension. Like, it's a lot that is going on in our community. But because, again, that's what we did every single week. Mm-hmm. It's like, they said the audio's going. It's like, that's the issue. So,
can you put Jen's comment up, the last one? Jen said, thank God for not being a product of my environment. I learned from seeing their financial mistakes. I know that's right, Jen.
Jen, I appreciate you so much saying that because I see people who, your daddy was an alcoholic, but your mom was an alcoholic, but you drinking every weekend. Or you drinking every day. Like, that's crazy. Like, that is crazy to me. I don't understand that at all. And they go, oh, it's only one drink. It's just one drink.
Every day.
It takes how many days to build a habit? What?
Right.
Seven days? So we're not broke. We just unhealed. Like, that's not it. It's like people always go, oh, we're broke. No, we're not broke at all. We're definitely not broke. We have one of the highest spending powers as an ethnicity. We're not broke. People just spend on what they want to spend on. That's just what it is. So I say this all the time. I tell my little brother this, D, because he lives in Savannah now, and I be telling him, you got to move away. I told him, I said, yo, the trauma that you experience in your life is not your fault. Everybody goes through trauma. But your financial future, that's your responsibility.
Yep.
It's not me. It's not your daddy, your mama. Like, we grown.
Yeah.
And that's how
a lot of people aren't willing to sacrifice anything to get out of that. Whatever type of like hole they're in, or what, like they may be comfortable at a job that's really not paying them that much, but they're comfortable there. So they ain't willing to do much sacrificing to dig out of that.
And that's that comfortability thing. I said 25 to 35 people give up.
Dang.
Like, so one of my first jobs out of my master's, while I was still trying to find a job, I worked at a warehouse. Like, I literally did. I worked at Fastenal. What's that? And off Fulton Industrial Boulevard in Atlanta. So if anybody's familiar with that, I worked there. Drove a forklift, and I'm meeting guys in there that are like, yo, I've worked for this company 15 years. And I'm like, you've been working for them 15 years, and you're still on the, and it's nothing wrong with that. I'm not downing nobody, but it's like seeing stuff like that made me think, like, nah, like,
I hell. We gotta be some type of elevation.
And I went home and I applied for like 30 jobs a night, like literally two, because I saw it. And you know, people get stuck. Like, it doesn't matter that you got a master's degree. It don't matter that you got a trade. So I be hearing that. I'm like, your belief is in what you deserve, right? So if you believe that's the most you can do, then that's the most you could do.
Yeah.
And that's just what it is.
I agree. So, in what ways Can growing up in survival mode affect someone's ability to plan financially?
Growing up in survival mode, they don't know how to plan. So it's almost the same way where they tell you, you big into fitness. A lot of people eat once a day or twice a day. Mm-hmm. Your body goes into survival mode. So it don't matter how much you're working out, you're not about losing weight. Because your body like, hey, I just ate. I don't know if you're going to feed me again until tomorrow. Right? So it's the same thing when it comes to getting out of survival mode. You get a mindset of, all right, cool. I made, we'll just say I made 10 grand this month at work. Well, we're going to say 10. We'll say even 12 times 5 is 60. We'll say 5,000. I made $5,000. Mm-hmm. You'll pay your bills. And then whatever's remaining, you'll just spend it on whatever you want to do to have fun because you deserve it. Rather than saying... I'm serious, because think about it. That's what people say. I deserve it. Or, hey, bro, you going out this weekend? No. Or, yeah, where you going to be at? So it's conversations like that. And I think it has to do with relationships, too, because think about it. If I was born in survival mode, I might not know how to love. I might not even know how to express my emotions. So how can you be in a relationship with somebody? And it's the same thing with your finances. Mm. You didn't learn how to express yourself financially. So now you don't know how to. So every time you get a little bit of money, it's like, I'm keeping it. Or I'm going to spend it on what I want to spend it on type situation. So that's kind of how I look at it. Like that's because that's the issue. We have to unlearn even survival mode. You got to unlearn survival mode. Mm-hmm. Any trauma that you had as a kid is not your fault. Right. But it is your responsibility to heal yourself, whether that means going to therapy. But again, that therapy is a big step for Black people. And I encourage, and I don't care if you grew up in a two-parent household, go see therapy, because you don't understand how do I put this? And I don't want to be rude. You don't understand the other sides of the trap, whether you grew up in a single-parent household or you grew up in a two-parent household. Because I know people who grew up in two-parent households that feel like their parents weren't even there.
Right. Right?
There are people who grew up in a single-parent household. And grew up around love like me. Both my parents loved me to death. My grandmother loved me too. So I never would say I didn't grow up around love. Mm. Absolutely. But you got to love yourself enough to say, hey, I want different. I want different for myself. I want different for my kids. What am I going to do or what am I going to sacrifice to get there? And it only, I've been telling people, it don't take that long. It takes 6 months. Six months, you can be in a totally different position, new job. New career, my bad, because there are a lot of skills that people can acquire. So it's a lot of stuff that people can do to get to where they want to be. I don't know why they keep doing this. Yeah. To get to where they want to be, but people don't want to do the work. Like people do not want to do the work just to change. And I'm like, bro, how do you not want to do the work? One of my college coaches, he's now the head coach at FAMU. Shout out to Coach Coates, he's the head football coach. He told me in college, he said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing repeatedly and expecting a different outcome. So if you've been living the same way for 5 years and you can't sit down for a year and not do nothing to put yourself in a better position or to have more disposable income to invest or to go find a mentor or to learn about something, everybody talk about real estate, that's easy. Find somebody who's done it and they've been successful and we go from there.
Yes. Can you put Jen's comment up?
What you got, Jen?
Jen said two-parent household here and still had trauma, and I'm all for therapy. It's life-changing. Yes,
it teaches you how to love yourself, because a lot of people don't know how to love themselves at all.
Absolutely. And social media literally like puts out this message that if you're from a two-parent household, you're perfect. You're good. You don't like you're whole. You're complete. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why do y'all put that much pressure on people? Like, everybody has issues. Everybody's go through things. You don't know what was happening in that household, whether it's two parents or a single parent.
People just make an assumption on what they believe happened in this person's upbringing. And it's like, bro, you don't know me from a can of paint.
Exactly.
You don't know what I went through. Exactly. Parents are physically, but they're not emotionally.
There you go. And that's why I hate when they will demonize single parents, because some single parents are like superheroes and they make it happen. They everywhere, they're mostly supportive, like they're doing their thing. So to blanket everybody with a certain thing, whether it's a single parent household or a two parent household, it's just, it does a disservice to people, because I think it may steer people away from therapy that have been in two-parent households because they think they shouldn't have something wrong with them. They shouldn't.
Everybody
have
got something wrong with them, whether you grow
everybody
or not. Like it doesn't, it don't matter.
Everybody,
two-parent household or not, everybody has some type of trauma, whether it's emotionally, whether it's physically. Some people dealt with the pressure of trying to be perfect. Like they felt like they had to be perfect in that two-parent household, or even in a single-parent household. So I think we just got to do better as a community. We got to make it okay to have the conversations. And a lot of people don't want to have the conversations because they feel like it makes them look weak. They feel like it makes them less of a man. They feel like it makes them like look like a kid or dumb. Yeah. And it's like, bro, that's just your ego. Like when man or woman, that's your ego. I do this now, D. If I start having a conversation with somebody, you know, you can see when somebody's like body language changes. As soon as I see that body language change, I know you catch an attitude, the conversation is over because I'm not coming from a place of I'm not coming from a place of disrespect. I'm coming from a place of trying to understand. For me to understand, I gotta ask questions. So if the first thing you do is get defensive, we can't have a conversation. We're not on the same level emotionally. We don't have the same emotional intelligence because you think I'm attacking you when I'm really just asking you a question. Let's have a real conversation.
Yeah. Can you put that comment up? Jen said they did what they could with what they knew, but didn't seek to improve or take on that responsibility. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Because some people think they're perfect or they think, hey, look, I make all this money. I'm good.
Bro. Ooh.
Money is not everything. Money, I won't say money is not everything. Money is a big piece of it. But it's like that saying, you can't unlame a lame. Like if you were corny, you always gonna be corny. You just corny with some money. Right? It don't change who you are as a person. And you know, me being transparent, my God, that was a kingpin. He did 50, he was at the top of a 52-man indictment. One of the biggest things he said, you never sell out. Don't change who you are for nobody. You done been around enough money in your life. You've seen enough. Right. Mm-hmm. So to understand that is like character's moral integrity. If you got that, you winning. Whether your pockets match or not, you're winning. But people don't understand it because they don't look a certain part or they don't have what social media said they're supposed to have.
It's a lot of lames out here with money.
Yeah, for sure.
And they really think that they are that guy or that girl just because they have money. It's like, no, your character is horrible. Well, your morals don't exist. Your soul is black. And stay away from me.
Right. No, for sure.
Yeah. So how can trauma lead to fear or shame around budgeting, investing, or asking for financial help?
Easy. People get instant gratification. So if it's hard, they stop.
Oh.
If it's hard, they stop. Somebody could be on track to say $400 or $500 a month, but because it's not $1,000 or because it's not, you know, what they want. It's an issue. So they have like short-term thinking, right? And that leads into obviously instant gratification. So it leads you into that fight or flight mode. If it's not perfect, they give it up. They like, man, this ain't gonna work. Bump with Jamari talking about, I'm just gonna live my life. They don't know me. They don't know what I've been through. That's what people say. And it's like, bro, we all been through something. Everybody has a sad story.
Mm-hmm.
What are you gonna do with that sad story? And it leads into self-sabotage. That's what I think. I've heard people say, I ain't got nothing to keep anyway. Or I ain't got nothing anyway. And it's like, no, you have a lot. You have life. You have life. So I think it causes people, like I said, to just give up. And instead of going out and finding people like John Bryant, shout out to John Bryant. Dr. Boyce Watkins, he gives information for our community. It's a lot of different people who give information. It's like, but because it doesn't look or sound the way you want it to, you like, nah, I'm good.
Dang.
I'm good. And I'm like, bruh, these are the people who've been where you want to go. But because it's not flashy, like people see me, I've been an athlete my whole life. So you know me, t-shirt, jogger, some chucks, I'm cool.
Right.
And they'd be like, you not the same dude from social media? I'm like, nah, actually I am. I just don't care the labels. The labels is made in India in the same shop that Skechers made in. They just slap the Dior label on it and you pay $700. I don't care about none of that because it's that saying, they got to be in you, not on you. So the clothes don't make the person.
Yeah. And most of the time, of course, we all know the richest people wear the plainest clothes. The
world is more
flashiest.
I'm not using Bill Gates. Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Man have on a Walmart button up and some khakis.
Yep.
Looking crazy.
But we I think our culture has fallen for the okie doke so much when it comes to like the swag or
what
does swag get you? What are we, is that gonna pay for something?
People want to look the part. They just want to look the part rather than actually being the part.
Yeah. And that's what the kids are falling for. That's why they want to see the athletes, the rappers, and all of that stuff. They fall for that.
Because I mean, it's back to what we do. I mean, growing up, I mean, what did most people see in the neighborhood? They saw the people in gangs, drug dealers, and people who play sports. Mm-hmm. They ain't really see. I watched an interview, and there was a guy, and he was in a neighborhood, and his teacher asked him who he wanted to be like. He didn't say a celebrity. He didn't say nothing. He said Mr. Bob, and his teacher was like, "Who is Mr. Bob?" He said, "That's my neighbor." And she said, "Why do you want to be like Mr. Bob?" She said, "He said Mr. Bob got a good job. His wife looked good, and he take care of his kids. Yeah. And he come home every day."
Right.
Period. So it's like you can be that person, but it doesn't always have to be glitz and glamour, because you'll get the glitz and glamour. You're like, "I don't want this." Like, we hear celebrities always try to say they wish they were regular or they weren't in the limelight.
Listen,
Benji, stop. Come here.
Listen, tell your dog to stop acting up.
Man,
he want to get on camera.
Crazy, man.
Hey, Freezy. Sorry, he in the comments. Put Jen's comment up there. The last one says, "The only label I care about is my bank account label." I know that's
right. I agree.
I need my coins, honey. I need my coins. All right, so can childhood impact someone's ability to trust financial systems, institutions, or even themselves?
No. I think because of what we've seen done to our communities, what we saw done to Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, what we've seen done to a lot of things we've tried to do as a community, I don't think so. We definitely don't trust banks, right? So I've seen situations, even in my own family, where people rather go do something stupid rather than go ask for a loan, right? They might try to rob a store, rob somebody rather than trust in a bank. And it's like, you gotta, like, I hate to say it and it's bad, but I'm gonna say it anyway. None of us are ever gonna change the system. And that's why I hate when people like, oh, the president, the president's never going to do anything for you and your community. We don't get that. They do what's best for them. It don't matter where you at, right? Everybody. So if you don't understand that, you're never going to get ahead, because you're always looking for somebody to free you. The only person going to free you is you.
Yep.
You got to make that decision. You got to go understand how not to have a fear of credit or misuse or the lack of education of just overall financial literacy over over-reliance on high interest stuff. Like, I make the parody videos that you guys will see on my page sometimes. People go get cars and they'd be like, "How much is your payment?" They'd be like, $700. I signed for 360 months. And it's like, that stuff is a joke, but that stuff happens in real life, because most of us, because of a lack of education, we go in and we just ask, "How much is the payment?" We don't ask the interest rate. The interest rate could be 27%, which is damn near usury in most states. But we don't ask that question because it's a Hellcat or because it's a G-Wagon or because it's a Mercedes. Like, we don't ask those questions. And it's like,
yeah,
you think this person helping at you, they smiling at you because they know you an easy lick.
Yeah.
And that's just what it is, because again, people want to look the part. So people would rather fake it till they make it than, like I said, take 6 months off or take a year off. Don't make no financial decisions based off of the dopamine that you feel in the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's why I tell them, like, take your time when you're at a car dealership. If you ain't got a pre-approved when you walk in there, take your time, read the paperwork. Don't let that car salesman, and no disrespect to car salesman because y'all got a job, but don't let nobody pressure you into the decision. If you feel like you are uninformed, take that contract home. Well, take the paper home. You always come back tomorrow.
Exactly.
The car gonna be there. I don't care if they tell you it's not gonna be there. The car gonna be there tomorrow.
It won't be there. It was there when you got there.
Right. So I think, like I said earlier, it's that psychology piece. Trauma has wired us to avoid risk, to fear abundance, which I don't know why, because we spend the most money. You can be as abundant as you want if you just do it right. Or we emotionally overspend, like I said earlier about the, "I deserve it." Why do you deserve it? I hear women say that all the time, even women in my family, "I deserve it." Why?
Right. What did you do different today that you did last week?
Or we just hoard. We hoard stuff, like, we buy clothes and you ain't, just because you liked it in the moment, you might have never wore it.
See, now you stepping on my toes.
Oh, my bad. My bad. My bad. I apologize, but no, that's, I mean,
oh
that's,
man, I got, I'll be giving stuff away though. I do be giving stuff away and I'm like, all right, am I buying nothing else? Cause I don't need this. I could just wear it again.
Right.
I'm working on that. I really am actively working on that right now. Cause it's ridiculous.
My bad.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Anyway, anybody want to sponsor my clothes for the show? You know, you got clothing line.
Somebody.
Sponsor. All right, let me get to another question. Okay. How can someone begin to unlearn the scarcity mindset that they inherited?
The first thing I always tell people, just pick up a book. There's literally a book that I read not too long ago. It said it was a letter to the Rothschilds. Mm. I think their dad wrote a letter to his sons. I bought that book and just started reading. And I was like, even the first, I didn't want to put it down until I finished. I think it was only like 9 or 10 chapters, but it was like small chapters. It's mm-hmm. only a letter that he wrote to his kids before he died, telling them what exactly he wanted them to do.
Wow.
Right. And we get it, you know, we can't beat the system. Right. And nope. There are some things we just never will change. Like, and that's just what it is, because mm-hmm. None of us were born in the elite families, and we never going to meet none of them. We never going to be a part of it. But it's like, what are you doing to build your own table? So I read that book. And I would encourage people to just start picking up books from people that look like us. Mm-hmm. That's a minority that became successful. Just read about what they did. Some of them went bankrupt millions of times. Some of them were facing foreclosure. Some of them had to move back in with a cousin or with brother or sister. And it's like, that stuff is okay. And if we really understood that and moved like that I'll say an upbringing perspective, a lot more of us would be successful. Oh, snap. Hold on, yeah, D. Gotta get the charger to the laptop. It's about to die. Okay.
And I was gonna say, while he's off, I was gonna say, a lot of times, like if you don't want to read or something like that, like just getting around people that you aspire to be like. If you see somebody that has the things that you like, or that you aspire to buy or be able to get, like if it's a house or a certain car or anything that you see, get around those people and try to figure out how they acquire those things. Try to figure out what kind of career they have, especially like young people. Young people kind of are hard on themselves, I think, now because of social media. So they don't realize that it takes time to acquire certain stuff. I know on social media, it looks like people acquire things quickly, but a lot of that stuff is fake. It's not real, and it's a facade. And I think I want to say I read something where it says the average age for a person to even become a millionaire is like 47. So relax. Y'all got time. It's going to come if you're putting in the work, if you're doing what you need to do. But if you're looking for these get rich quick schemes, can you put them back up? Or if you're looking for like ways to do things quickly, most of the time it's not going to happen. Y'all looking at like these 1% of people who may go viral or do something that happens like miraculously, this lightning in a bottle type thing. You just got to grind it out, and you got to take your time and be willing to put in the work to get these things. Because yes, it gets exhausting. It's tiring. But if you want to be rich, or if you want to get this money, you're going to be tired. It's not going to be easy. Nobody's going to just give it to you.
Nobody. Like for the people who are younger than you that are around my age, whether you're in your 30s, because I'm only 32, or your late 20s, like, I promise you, I worked in corporate for 6 years before I walked away.
Mm.
You got to have some type of buffer. What she's saying about people going viral, yeah, it happens on a rare occurrence. Like, even if you look at, like, I see the kids, they love streamers. Look at Kassanet. He's been streaming since 2017, 2018. Yep. It's 2025, and he's just not popping off. It's like, everybody doesn't become a overnight celebrity or an overnight sensation, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you, D, where you said people need to get around other people who have been successful. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Like, I'm cool with paying for a consultation with somebody who's way far more ahead of me, because me and D could be doing the same thing. We could be the same age, but she might be afraid to reach out, and I'm not afraid to reach out, and I just cut my learning curve by 5 years.
Yeah,
I just cut down on it. You're paying for advice on the mistakes that they made early on, so that you don't do the same stuff. So,
and that's one thing that kind of bothers me a little bit about when the Black culture says that there's a lot of gatekeepers. They don't try to help. They hold on to information. No, the problem is that a lot of y'all aren't willing. Number one, I'm not wasting my time. If you're not really gonna do it, don't bother me. because for most sure. of the time people aren't going to execute anyway.
I agree. Right?
But also, no, you can't pick my brain unless you pick your own brain. I'm not going to just be giving you stuff that I paid for and I've worked my behind off to garner this information. I'm about to help you, like you said, cut off 5 years of the learning curve.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have to pay me for it.
I agree. I think too many times people say, oh, I got scammed. Yeah, you got scammed because you went for the person that was flashy rather than the other person you knew who did the same thing, but because they weren't showing X, Y, and Z, you felt like they didn't have. And it's like, nah, they got it too. They just, it looks totally different. Yeah. And I'm with D. I don't want your lunch. I can pay for my own lunch. I get it all the time. And D, that's why people are like, oh, you're Hollywood. And it's like, nah, bro, you got to understand. I'm going to spend an hour and a half with you giving you information and I'm not getting anything in return but some food and I can eat at home. Sorry. I got a refrigerator full of food. I got cousins that still get food stamps. I definitely buy them. I got a refrigerator full of food. So
shout out to the food stamps. Are y'all selling something?
Hey, at the real Jamar.
Listen, look, time is hard, okay? All right, what healing practices or mindset shifts help break negative financial cycles from that's rooted in childhood trauma?
The first thing that my therapist taught me, shout out to Mr. Johnson, he passed away last year. But first thing he taught me was when you have a negative thought, reverse it. So people always say, why me? Right? When bad things happen, the first thing people say, damn, why me? Instead of saying, why me? Why don't you say, why not me? Right? Even if it's a bad situation, why not me? What am I supposed to learn in this occurrence?
Yep.
Right. And then one of the other things he made me think about is, and I guarantee you nobody thought about this, when's the last time you, when in your prayer, asked God to show you how good life can really get? And he asked me that. Ooh. I was like, dang, I'm 27, 28. I've never asked God that. Right. I've never sat down and said, hey, God, show me how good life can get. And it ain't like, obviously, it's not going to just happen overnight, but we have to change the way we think because that there is power in words. And a lot of times we hear people say things like, oh, I'm stupid, right? Because of that childhood trauma. Mom and daddy might have told you you're stupid, you'll never amount to nothing. And people start to believe that. And instead of saying that, it's like, no, I'm not stupid. I just learned a little bit slower than you. That's it. I gotta see it in a different way. So we have to, I think for us, we have to change the way we speak. And we know, like I have a daughter, my daughter's two. I know that my daughter's gonna do what she sees me do, not what she hears me say, right? So the biggest thing was just changing the way I speak, changing the way I talk about myself, changing the way I deal with myself. And a lot of people, black people, don't love yourselves. You don't. You don't love the way you look. That's why we see everybody getting surgery. And, you know, sometimes surgery is necessary, but we don't love ourselves enough to do the hard work. I'm serious. I got friends that's my age that's talking about Ozempic. I'm like, damn, you're only 32. What you talking about? Like, what are you talking about? Like, come on. Like, so I think it starts with loving ourselves because that inner child didn't get the love. That's why you said a lot of people want to deal with control because they weren't heard as a child. So now they want to be controlling. Or their parents led with fear. So they try to lead with fear. Or their parents led with shame in people. So they led with the same thing. Or power, right? Or you see people who in the comments. Brown tax style. I know y'all know what I'm talking about when I say that's a tax relationship. That's survival. A lot of people only know survival. I'm for real. Like a lot of people only know survival, right? And these are all childhood trauma things. They only know how to survive. So they'll use somebody and be with them. And you're like, boy, I know a tax relationship when I see it. So those different type of things and understanding how to love on yourself and speak to your inner child. So for the fellas out there, I would tell you to get back to things you did as a kid that you actually liked. Even I don't care if you're 35, 45, get back to some of the stuff you used to do as a kid that you like, not what your parents made you do. And you'll start to love on yourself totally different. And you'll start to understand that there are things that you enjoy that you didn't even know you enjoyed because you never thought about doing them. Right. So just stuff like that. Like it starts with self-love. Just removing yourself from negative environments. If you around negative people or even your family negative, remove yourself. Right. I got friends who say they're the black sheep because all their parents do is be negative. And it's like, I can't be around that. And I understand that and I get it. You can't be around negative people in negative environments, but don't be afraid to tell your parents, hey, you're real negative. Like you're very negative. I mean, I hope you're an adult when you do it. Don't, or even if you're younger, just don't say it in a disrespectful way, because we have to be able to open to have those conversations. And
yeah,
because of the trauma my parents went through, sometimes they're not open to those conversations. I have guys who book consultations all the time, and I'm not a therapist, but they want to vent. And they'll say, oh, I can't have that conversation with my dad because he's just not trying to hear it. Well, then that's just the way he going, you know, yeah, lead his earth. But that should not stop your growth. That shouldn't stop your growth as a man, as a leader, as a father, as a friend, as a brother. And you got to love on yourself enough to say, hey, I'm not okay. I need to go get help.
Ooh.
Right. And I think that's the problem. A lot of people don't like accountability. Who are you to tell me what to do? I'm trying to help you better your life. And they're like, oh, well, your life's not that great. That's the trauma speaking. You're getting defensive when I'm saying, hey, bro, you're my friend. I see you're struggling with X, Y, and Z. This is what you need to do, right? Yeah. The sexualization across social media, porn, all the different types of, like, we as men or even women too, like, we have to do things that not put ourselves in situations to where certain things could be an issue. And I'm saying that at 32.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Can you put Jen's comment up? Jen said, inner child trauma presents itself in adulthood in ways you may not even realize. That subconscious mind is no joke. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. I agree with Jen 100%. Tough. Jen, my grandfather died in 2020, right? He caught, his wife died on Valentine's Day. He had been with her longer than I've been alive. He caught COVID on purpose to pass. So at the repast, me and my dad had a conversation, and I asked my dad.
Wait.
He did.
Why?
Because he didn't want to be here. Think about it. You lost the person you have been with every single day for over, 30 plus years. So me and my dad had a conversation. I asked him, I said, hey, as a kid, I didn't feel like you were there enough for me. And that was me. I feel like that was my time to speak. Like God put it on my spirit, or maybe I was my grandpa speaking. And in that moment, right, my dad literally got weak. He started crying. He said, hey, I just raised you the way I was raised. And I understood in that moment. I said, I was mad at this person for something that he didn't even know how to do. And sometimes we have to be okay with giving people grace because they weren't taught to do a certain thing. You might have been taught to love a certain way. Mm-hmm. They weren't, right? So again, it ends that cycle and that silence.
Yep.
Right. So just things like that. Like people gotta be open with having the hard conversations. If you're hurt, it hurt. But at least now that person understands where you're coming from, how you're moving as an adult, and you not letting them know, hey, I'm not going for it. Like, both my parents know I'm not going for it. So don't call me with the foolishness, because I'm going to set you straight. Like, I'm your parent. And we're going to keep it pushing. Because who has time for a negative Nancy?
Woo.
We all got stuff we trying to do. I don't have time to sit and be negative all day.
That's
so same. I'll let you vent for a minute. But after that, all right, we got to start thinking of some solutions.
What's the solution? Because
exactly,
you're not doing, I can't take it. It like boils my blood. I cannot handle it. Get away from me. Because no.
Right.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and it's funny that you said that, because I think this generation of children are way more vocal. Oh, so wonderful. they are, and they're fearless. So they're going to say what they need to say. My son, he got something to say, he's going to say it. He is not holding back.
I feel like as long as he say it respectfully, like, what's the issue?
Well, he knows he has to come out a window.
So something that I want to give to people who are watching, like, you have to be okay with naming the pain without shame. Like I just said, like, you have to be able to say it and not be shamed. Whatever you struggle with, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, a lot, like Jen said, whether you had a two-parent household or not, a lot of us were raised like in survival mode. You weren't raised around healed people, so they didn't know how to heal you, right? And the first step to like liberation, and this is something I learned in therapy, is acknowledgement. Like, you have to be able to acknowledge the issue, right? You have to be able to acknowledge what's wrong, and be willing to say, hey, I'm not okay. Now it's time for me to reprogram my subconscious mind, like Jen said. Because think about it. Some of the biggest things I'm sure you heard growing up, D, and I wrote them down because I heard them too. I just got to hustle hard to survive.
Mm.
Credit is a scam. And nobody ain't coming to save me, which is true. So, just like they program computers, right? You've seen people break down computers and rebuild it, right? It's the same way with you. But I think it starts with, again, having that reconnection with your inner child. If you never get with your inner child and work on the things that you know you struggle with, or the things, or speak life into yourself, like something that I say every single day is, I release what is not mine to carry.
Mm.
Because people will dump on you. Like, that's why I don't do the negative. The venting, people will dump on you. I am worthy of abundance without struggle, because people feel like you got to have struggle love, struggle job. Like, hell no, that's not what God wants for you. That's not what he wants for you. Sometimes he puts certain people in your life for you to learn a lesson. And if you don't learn a lesson, he's going to bring somebody to look a little bit better with the same issues. And you're going to deal with it until you learn the lesson you're supposed to do.
Lord, I hear you. I learned the lesson. Please.
Hey, y'all, I give D a hard time all the time, man. But one of the biggest things I want each and every one of y'all to start, and it's an affirmation I say every single morning. I deserve to be safe, wealthy, and seen. Right? I deserve to be safe because I'm a black man. I'm black and I'm a man. I deserve to be wealthy because, again, God wants you to have abundance. There's no way that just preachers, pastors, doctors, lawyers, attorneys, and people who have built successful businesses are supposed to be successful. No, you can be wealthy. It just might not look the way you want it to look. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And I deserve to be seen, because a lot of you guys on here have gifts and skills that y'all don't give to the world. And then y'all see somebody who has less skill than you actually take the step and do it. And you're like, he ain't like that. Well, shit, he took the step and you didn't. Like, what's the, like, you can't be mad. So I want everybody here to learn how to budget. If you don't know how to budget, get your ass on YouTube and look up a T-chart. Where you put your expenses on one side and your income on the other side, and you'll start to see, do I have this much disposable income? Do I have this? Do I not have a surplus? And when you do that, you'll start to see, oh, I got, some of y'all be having 17 subscriptions to all these networks and y'all need to watch the shows. That $17.99 add up. Disney Plus, Hulu, Stars, I'm talking to y'all, right? The system isn't built for you to win. So the quicker you understand that, and the more you leverage the fact that it's not built for you to win, and you get around people who don't judge you, you get around people who understand therapy is very key when you find the right therapist, you get around mentors. I spend a lot of time with elders. So if I see older people walking to the store, I always try to pick them up because they might give you some wisdom right then and there. And you never know, that might be your guardian angel. Get around people who not just surviving, get around people who are actually thriving. Like, sometimes you have to pay the cost to get in that room, and that's okay if you think this person can lead you to where you want to be. And the healing is not in isolation. Too many of y'all isolate yourselves. Oh, bro, I'm just going through some stuff. I had to disappear. You're allowing yourself to sit in what the issue is rather than going and talking to somebody. You're not going to fix it just sitting in isolation. You're just going to feel better because you don't cope with some weed or some drugs or sex or alcohol or something else that is helping you in that moment. And there is no shame in the power. And I'm giving y'all stuff that my therapist gave me when I was literally first starting, because I thought I was okay too, but I knew I wasn't, because I was depressed with corporate. Right. So understand, debt is a real PTSD, right? I was living paycheck to paycheck. I would get paid. I would pay off my credit cards and I ain't got nothing. And then I got to use my credit cards again until the next time I get paid. And I was like, damn, it's a cycle. I was like, I fell into the cycle, right? Even though I had good credit, I was scared to use it. I'm like, I got a 720 and I don't know what to do. At 25, 26 years old, because nobody had ever taught me. My mom literally said, only use it for emergencies. I'm like, damn, this ain't an emergency. So I'm not going to use my credit card, right? Just stuff like that. Overspending is an emotional escape. So for you hoarders and you people who have aggressive personalities that like to buy everything in every different color, I'm talking to y'all. I'm only talking to y'all because I've been there. Avoiding bills is a trauma response. You know, just hold yourself accountable. Like, you have to teach yourself emotional regulation. And every dollar you spend is a reflection of your beliefs, not just your income. These are all things my therapist gave me early on. So
I ain't spending no more money.
I'm sweet. I ain't say that now, but understand, y'all. Hey, normalize rest. We got to normalize rest, abundance, and boundaries. A lot of y'all think y'all gotta work. No, if you don't sit your ass down, you're not a machine. I know you think you're a machine. I know you think you can work 60 hours a week. It does not work like that. You're not.
Now, why is he yelling at me right now? I don't appreciate that.
You're not, because I was the same person. You're not lazy for wanting peace. Just because you want peace and you're sitting down not doing nothing, a lot of people feel antsy and feel like they gotta give, do something. Well, sit down, relax. That's right. You're not wrong for wanting things to be easy. Like, you want ease. You're not wrong for that, right? Abundance is your birthright. And I'm sure each and every one of y'all heard that. Boundaries are divine, because if you don't have boundaries, people are going to take advantage of you. That saying, A giver never gonna stop giving, but a taker damn sure ain't gonna never stop taking. That's real.
Ooh.
And the last thing I'm gonna leave y'all with, two sentences, well, really three. Our ancestors fought so we wouldn't have to work ourselves to death. The rest is part of reparations. And how do I put this? Healing is not just about therapy. It's about reclamation. That's what Mr. Johnson, God rest his soul, taught me. He's like, it's about reclaiming your time, reclaiming your truth, reclaiming that bag, and reclaiming your joy. And a lot of you guys have lost it because we didn't learn financial literacy. We don't have financial health. We don't have financial education. And it starts with telling yourself you deserve more. So, you know, if your partner's spending all the money, you deserve more. If you in an abusive relationship, you deserve more. If you don't know how to say no, you deserve more, right? Wow. So we gotta start with ourselves. And again, it goes back to healing yourself and understanding, why am I this way? A lot of people are that way because they didn't have it growing up, or they didn't feel love growing up. So they want to be loved. So they do whatever they have to. And it's like, bro, you crazy. Mm-hmm. I done told y'all about them tax relationships now. So
keep with Jen's coming up. Jen said the bills are all paid, but I still need stuff in every color.
Hey Jen, as long as the bills paid, okay? As long as the bills paid, I'm cool with it.
Listen,
man, that's hilarious.
We got some clothes to buy. Look, we going to Africa in December. We need our outfits.
I see, that's different. That's an occasion. Yeah, I got that planned out.
Yes. Man, that was good. Ooh, Lord, you stepped on some toes. You hear me?
Listen, we've been there. I'm 32. I done been around, again, like I said, my goddad tell me I can talk about it. So my goddad was at the top of a 52-man indictment. So as a kid, I don't know what he's doing. I just keep telling everybody, I want to be like my goddaddy. Not understanding he was running a business, but again, he didn't get out in time. And, you know, he went down. So he got out in 2020. I helped him with his credit, helped him get started. We got a whole company now, a whole black truck company.
Wow.
So it's like, it's never too late to change what you're doing. Like you said, the average millionaire is 45. So if you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, even if you're in your 40s and your 50s, you got time, but you got to want to do something different.
Yeah.
So
yeah, sacrifice, baby. You got to sacrifice. Let me see. I got two more questions for you.
All right, let's go.
If you could go back and tell your younger self one thing about money, what would it be?
Don't be afraid to invest. Don't be afraid. I was afraid because I didn't understand. I was kind of like, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to put in the savings. I'm going to put it in the safe at the house. And it's like, if you think about it, most people never have it. Like we always say, always saving for a rainy day. You ain't never had a rainy day more than $5,000 unless your roof caved in and you ain't had no, you know what I'm saying? You've never, think about it, D. You've never had an expense more than $5,000. So now I'm looking at it like, okay, cool. In the mattress or whatever, wherever people say that, I'm gonna have $5,000. That's it. Other than that, everything else is gonna be invested. But because of the trauma and we can't touch it right now, we don't invest it. And it's like, yo, you could have been a millionaire. For people who work in 20 years, go ahead and transfer that 401k to a Roth IRA now, immediately. I'm telling you, my grandma retired. I pay all her bills. That Social Security ain't gonna be there. And I don't wanna scare nobody. I'm just telling you. Like my grandma in her 70s, and I pay her bills because I'm abundant enough to do that. But she gets Social Security. That Social Security ain't nothing but a couple.
It ain't
even $1,000. So I understand the scam now. I understand what it's set up for. Because the money they take from your check, they damn sure invest in it. I'll tell y'all that. And that comes from me being, just those who don't know, in my corporate career, I used to work for the SEC, right? The Security Exchange Commission. So the financial statements that are created for these companies, you get to start having conversations. These people don't care about us at all. They only care about their advancement and helping their families get ahead. That's why you see the arranged marriages and things like that. So it's like, if I could tell my 18-year-old self, hey, start off with a Roth IRA, that 401k, and if you withdraw it, they're gonna tax you on it anyway. So it's like, we got, you know, just, that's just some advice. So I would tell my younger self to invest and don't be afraid. Like, if you're going to lose, shit, you went out swinging, but it's not the end of the world, right? So
you can always make some more.
For sure.
Last question. Let me see. I got two. Let me see which one I want to ask you. I'm gonna ask you two more. Sorry. What's one action step you'd recommend for listeners who are realizing they have trauma connected to their money habit?
Find you a therapist immediately. Like yesterday. And people are, oh, therapy's not free. Yes, it is. For Black people, there are a lot of free therapy out there. And most of y'all have a job with insurance. Your copay is going to be just like you went to the doctor. My copay used to be $15. I used to meet Mr. Johnson. I think for the first 2 years, we used to meet twice a month. Mm-hmm. And then once, you know, you start making goals and you hit those goals, then it got down to once a month. Then it got down to once a quarter. Mm-hmm. And then he just started inviting me to his house. So it, like, I'm not saying that's going to be everybody's relationship with their therapist, but you have to start somewhere and be okay with saying, hey, I don't have a great relationship with money. I don't. Mm. I don't. Or get you an accountability partner, somebody who's literally trying to do the same thing you're doing that's going to hold you accountable. I ain't talking about your auntie, your cousin, your best friend that you done been with 30 years and y'all done been. No, I'm talking about somebody that's really going to hold you accountable to what you are saying you want to do, because a lot of us have a problem and we don't want to talk about it because we don't want nobody to hold us accountable. Ooh. But once you get some people around you, and it might not be your closest friends, and that's okay. You get around some other like-minded individuals who are serious about money, they'll hold you accountable to what you said.
Yeah.
But you have to hold yourself accountable and actually say, hey, I got a problem. So.
Okay. All right. My last question for real. What is the best financial advice you've ever received?
Do it scared, but do it fast. Hmm. And I know people are like, what? That don't even make sense. If you think about people who are successful, they say success loves speed. So if I sit there and I think about the decision I'm about to make for 2, 3, 4, you're gonna talk yourself out of it every time. If you're gonna invest or you're gonna do it fast and do it scared. Because you don't know the outcome. You don't know what's going to happen. But again, we go into it with what's the worst that could happen rather than thinking what's the best that could happen. What's the best thing that could happen? I could pay for this mentorship and this person helped me become a millionaire in a year. Mm. I could pay for this mentorship and they give me some game that I did not know. I could pay for this session with D and she helped me with my trauma and she gave me some advice from her book. So do it scared, but do it fast. Don't second guess yourself. Once you make the decision, stay there. Right. Once you make the decision, stay there, because again, we talk ourselves out of it and think of, and you know, y'all in the comments don't have to respond, but just think about how many times you sat on a decision you probably should have made and you didn't. And then you're like, damn, I should have did that. Yeah, I should have did that.
Yeah. So. That was so good. Ah, you were so brilliant.
I appreciate you. Hey, listen, I try to be what I didn't have. Right. I try to be different.
And so. you helped me out with a financial decision not too long ago.
Oh yeah, yeah, we had that conversation. Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. They was about to take you up through that. Huh?
What? Like, yo, somebody help!
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I appreciate you for coming on the show, for being available and just giving so much knowledge that most of the time we don't get from Black men.
Oh, for sure.
So that was just, this was so good.
We all in this together. Like, I feel like everybody who watch our show, they're my family. Like, we all in this together. Yeah. But we have to, again, we got to get out of that mindset of thinking people just trying to get over on us. And it's like, bro, I tell people all the time, D, when they book with me or they want to do investments that I'm doing, so I'm like, bro, I done been around money my whole life. That does not motivate me. I done been in a room with stacks. That doesn't motivate me. Because at the end of the day, one decision and it's gone. God can change your decision overnight. I mean, your life overnight.
What?
So understanding that, it motivates me even more to make sure I'm doing right by people, because I've been in business for myself now, 6 years? I've never been once called a scam. I never plan on being called a scam, because if I can't help you, I ain't taking your money. I'm going to tell you, hey, there's nothing I can do for you. But I might know somebody or can direct you in the direction, go talk to this person or go book a session with this person. But that, I think that's the biggest thing. I don't understand it. I think the issue with Black men sometimes, and I could be wrong, but I know I'm not wrong, because I have family members who are way more successful than me and are professional athletes or other things. The issue with Black men is it's a wee-wee measurement contest. And it's like, who got the most money? And it's like, why?
Yep.
And it's like, why does it matter? If you ain't about to do nothing with it, or you're not about to invest back in your community, or like, what the, like, it does not matter how much money you got.
I agree.
You still, like you say, you still can be a cornball, right? And most people just want to be successful too. Well, I would say most black men want to be successful just to show off. And it's like, bro, I don't care about that. I got a nephew. I know I want to make sure they're straight, but I know that there are more people who grew up like me and like, damn, I want to find somebody who's going to help me or at least help me with a plan. I'm like, that's what I'm here to do because I did not have that even being around. My uncle was in the military for 32 years, a lot of successful people around me, but I didn't have what was for me because I knew corporate wasn't for me. So,
yeah. Well, you're definitely necessary and we appreciate you.
Appreciate y'all.
And you can let the folks know if you have anything coming up, how they can get a consultation, how they can follow you, whatever you want the people to know, let them know.
For sure. So I'll put my website in the chat. If you want to book a session, we can have a financial conversation. It's just my name. D said it. They call me Mr. I'm a sue that ass because I take third party debt collectors and banks to the bank.
Yes,
if you're getting sued, you know, by a third party debt collector or a bank, contact me. Let's have a conversation. I just feel like there are people like me out there that want to be that bridge and be that gap for people that look just like that come from a mind. Oh yeah, my bad. I didn't put it in the comments.
No, my engineer is gonna put it in there.
Okay, I didn't come from a place of seeing people want to work together. I came from everybody trying to showboat and show this person that you bigger than this person. It's like, yo, we don't have to do that. We all can work together and be successful because why? Other communities do it. It'd be 100 of them. Everybody bring $1,000 and now we got $1 million. Now we going and buying a hotel and we going to build us a portfolio and sell it to a bank for 100 times what we bought it for. So it's, and investing in other countries. There's people out there that look like us that are doing that. But again, until you get around those people and they not flashy, you'll never know. You'll never know until you change the way you think and the way you operate. So.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jamari.
No problem.
Y'all make sure y'all need to get a consultation so y'all can stop buying all that stuff in different colors. That's what y'all need to do. I need a consultation so bad. Oh, Jesus.
I'm screaming.
I appreciate you, but y'all know who I am. I'm Didi Leggett, the Core Queen, and y'all know how to find me. I'm on social media, all platforms, either Didi Leggett or the Core Queen. You can find me. You can Google me. My website to get my book is thecorequeen.com/book. Please make sure you get my book, Breaking the Cycle of Childhood Trauma. This book will save your life. It'll change your life. It has so much information here about my past and also tools on how to raise emotionally intelligent daughters. We need some women out here who are emotionally healthy and independent. So y'all make sure y'all get my book. It's a great gift to give people who have daughters. If you're a daughter, even if you're not, I have a whole chapter here about the men in my life as well that helped shape and mold me. So get the book, y'all. I'm telling you, it's a gem. It's a great book. It's a great read. And what I have coming up this weekend is a big weekend for me. From July 25th to the 27th, first time ever in Charlotte, North Carolina is Ebony Fit Weekend. If you haven't heard of Ebony Fit Weekend, you must have been under a rock, but they travel from city to city, hold huge fitness events. So I'm co-hosting this weekend. If you're in Charlotte, come out Friday night to Imperial Charlotte. I'll be hosting 6 o'clock until, and then all of the fitness events are on Saturday. And then the brunch is on Sunday. And then Sunday night, I'll be off to Augusta, Georgia for the Southern Plug Music Awards, where I'll be up for Podcast of the Year. So shout out to Southern Plug Music Awards. And like Jamari said earlier, I just got notified today that I have been nominated for the Carolina Music Video Awards Podcast of the Year as well, and amongst some of the most top of the line podcasts. So I'm so excited about that. That event will be in September. Well, the biggest thing and the most important thing to me is coming up on August 23rd from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in my hometown of Bristol, Pennsylvania, my annual back to school bash in honor of my late grandmother, Evelyn Joyce Leggett. Y'all, please come out, donate, volunteer, just bring the kids out there. We're going to have horses for them to ride. We got book bags, school supplies. We have bouncy house, we got water ice, all kinds of stuff. We got a dance team coming out to entertain the kids. We're going to have some games and some prizes. We're going to feed the kids and everything. So please make sure you come out. And if you can donate, please donate. We have Cash App, we have Venmo, we have Zelle. You can hit me up, look on my pages. It's everywhere. It's pinned. make sure you make help us make this a success. It's 1 month away from today on August 23rd. So let your people know if you're in my hometown. Come on out. It's a big event every year. I think that's all. I can't think of nothing else because I'm sleepy. But I'm tired. I appreciate y'all in the comments. I appreciate y'all for supporting each week. Please make sure if you're on Facebook right now, can you please go over to my YouTube channel, leave a comment on this video, like it, subscribe to the channel, turn on your notification bell so that we can keep the content going on YouTube. That's where we're trying to get the platform growing and monetized. So please go over to YouTube, the Core Queen Chat. Check us out over there and view it every week on YouTube. I appreciate y'all more than you know. We'll be back next week. I have a very, 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 I think next week is the, let me look at my calendar before I say the wrong person. I think next week is my very special guest. And y'all know why in a second, if it's the right week. Y'all know my dates, they just be running together. But I want to make sure y'all are here for next week's show. Let me see. Yes, next week is a very, 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 very special guest. My daughter, Dajanae Shack, newly married, the person who inspired my book, who has inspired my entire life. She will be my guest on my show next week, Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Y'all, please make sure y'all tune in and share this with people. It's going to be a very powerful episode. I'm here to hear all of her feedback from the book and just to see what she has to say and how she took it in. So y'all make sure y'all tune in. I appreciate y'all. And I'll see y'all next week. Bye, y'all.